Amen? You got me now? All right, praise God. A little more, maybe. Well, I'm blessed and happy to be here and thankful for the invitation to come. My wife and I, Doreen, have It Is Finished Ministries, and God gave us that in 2009. And since then, we've been traveling around the world, preaching and teaching one message, the message of the cross. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. It's written to the church, Corinth, but to the church for us today. And the Holy Spirit gives it to the Apostle Paul. And he says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing, but to us that are saved, it is the power of God." The message of the cross. What did the Holy Spirit mean, the message of the cross? Oh, this timed out, probably. No, it didn't either. It's on. Just black still. Well, he meant not a wooden beam, or the message of the cross isn't some idol around our neck. The message of the cross is what Jesus did on the cross by shedding his blood. It's foolishness to those that are perishing. To those that don't know God, what does a man 2,000 years ago have to do with me? But to us that are saved, if you're saved today, the preaching of the cross is the power of God for all that are saved. Power over the devil, power over sin, power over the law, power over flesh, power over every need in your life, everything that comes against you. The answer is the blood of Jesus, and only the blood of Jesus. You're going to have to close the program and bring it back up. So I want to bring us today to a teaching about the cross of Christ, that it not only pays for the penalty of sin, but it gives us the power over sin. Amen? Let me say that again. We're saved by the blood. The cross of Christ, what Jesus did on the cross, gives us the victory against the penalty of sin, which is death. The wages of sin is death. But also the blood of Jesus is the power over sin. So when the Christian has any kind of need or anything in their life that's going wrong, the answer is the blood of Jesus. Amen? So let's pray and ask God to help us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we need you to move by your Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit come, Lord, and anoint us, anoint our ears to hear it might say today, so you, Lord, might be lifted up and glorified. And whoever here, Lord, that loves you and is not a hypocrite and has sin in their life or has some kind of a problem in their life, they need healing. Everything we need, we know, comes through the sacrifice of your Son. And we're asking you, Lord, to move and show us so we might take our faith off of ourselves, off of law, off of programs of man, and on only the blood of Jesus. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen and amen. Glory to God. You got it. Good. Brother Steve, would you come up? I'm going to use Brother Steve here as an example. You see, when we're born, look at Romans 5:12. When we're born, we're born in sin. We're born condemned to die. We're separated from God by our sin. Why? Because Adam sinned in the garden. Sin passed to all men. And then now we're born sinners. You see, we don't sin and become a sinner. We're born sinners, and that's why we sin. Amen? We're already born sinners because of Adam's fall in the garden. We are born with the sin nature. So now listen, the problem is sin. In Romans 5:12, therefore just as through one man sin entered the world, that word sin in the Greek is hamartia. Hamartia. It means it's the sin nature. It's a noun. It's not a verb. We're born with the sin nature. The sin nature is power over us. It has power over us. We're going to see this today, and I want you to learn from the scriptures how to have victory over this sin nature that's in us. So the sin nature got passed to us. There's my grandson David. If you put him together with another 8-year-old little boy with one toy, what happens? Come on. The sin nature is still in us. We might have victory over sin, But the sin nature, even though it has no power, is still there. And we can't defeat the sin nature in our own strength. You're going to see this today. Amen? And then we fight against the sin nature. But nowhere in the Bible does it tell us to fight against sin. We can't defeat sin before we're saved, and we can't defeat sin after we're saved. We fight the good fight of faith. Faith in what? Faith in a 40-day plan or a 12-step program or my works or going to church or faith in giving money like you just tithed? No. No, faith in the blood of Jesus. I'm not talking to the unbeliever today. I'm talking to the Christian. I'm talking to us believers, the ones that were saved by the blood. He says, therefore, just as by one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. So we're all born with sin. We're all born in the seat of condemnation. We're condemned. This is our position. This is where we're born. And we're looking in the wrong direction. Look at verse 18 of Romans 5. Therefore, as through one man's offense, that's Adam, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. We are condemned to die from the moment we're born until we accept Christ. We are enemies of God, alienated from the promises of God, because we don't have our faith in the right thing. We're looking at law. We're looking at religion. We're looking at programs of man. Are you there? This is where we are. This is who we are before Christ. But the scripture continues and says, even though we're condemned, even so, through the one man's righteous act, that's Jesus, the free gift came to all, resulting in justification of life. Now we give our lives to Jesus and we're justified. That word in the Greek, dikaiō. It means, justification means not guilty. It means innocent of all charges. But it even goes further. It means just as if you never sinned. You hear what I'm saying? If you put your faith in Christ because of what Jesus did on the cross, we are righteous and justified before a holy God. Just as if we never sinned. Verse 19 says, for as by one man's disobedience, Adam, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. So Adam's disobedience in the garden made us sinners. We're born sinners. We're condemned to die. We have our faith in something else. Bill Gates probably has his faith in money. Someone else has their faith in a God. Someone else has their faith in their works. And there's a lot of religions around the world trying to work their way to heaven. This is where we're born. But now it says, by one man's obedience, that's Jesus, many will be made righteous. A right standing before God. Righteous. What was the obedience of Jesus? I'm glad you asked. It's Philippians 2:8. We look at Philippians 2:8 and we see the obedience of Jesus. He says, and being found in appearance as a man, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. It has to be the cross of Christ where your faith is. It cannot be in Jesus, the wonderful man, Jesus, the miracle worker. Thank God for the miracles, but they don't save us. Hello? Thank God for miracles. He still does them today, but they don't save us. It has to be faith in the blood, brothers and sisters. It can't be faith in this tent meeting. It can't be faith in your pastor's walk or whatever it is you're doing in the community, a nursing home ministry. Thank God for nursing home ministry. But that doesn't make you righteous before God. Only the blood of Jesus and faith in that alone. Because that is the power of God. The preaching of the cross, faith in what Jesus did, is the power of God. You know, one day we're going to stand before God and we're going to see him face to face. And in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, it says, we will testify. We will stand before God and we will testify. And we will say, we overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Well, what will be the word of our testimony when we're standing before God? I was a missionary to Guatemala. I was a pastor in New York State. I was a teacher of the word of God. I did this and I did that, and I gave this and I gave that. No, not when we're standing before a holy God. We're going to say, I overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony and the word of your testimony. Look what Jesus did. Jesus saved me. Jesus healed my body. Jesus delivered me from sin. Jesus gave me my deliverance. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We'll be testifying about what Jesus did, not what we do. Why? Because we have to learn not to love our lives unto the death. We have to die to self, die to the law, die to sin, die to the flesh, crucify the flesh. Do you understand? Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So we got to learn how to die. And we don't like to die. Because if you die, you can't do anything for God. You can't help your righteousness. You can't make yourself holy if you die. So look at the next verse, Romans 5:20. We're going to get you saved in a minute, Steve. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. The law, God gave the law at Mount Sinai to show that the offense might abound. So now, he gives a law, and the law strengthens the sin. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. The law is the strength of sin. I want you to get that. Don't leave here without understanding that scripture. Is there anybody here that hasn't sinned in the last month? I'm talking about something very important here. We're not playing church today. We got to get down to it, you know. You want to make heaven your home? You want to be used of God? You want to be the example in front of your children? You got to understand this thing. You got to understand the sin nature, what it is, how it's strengthened, how it's defeated, and how you live without this in your life. It doesn't make you perfect, but you know you're by the end of today, if you stay with me, you're going to know where you got to go to get victory over sin. If you're lusting, young lady, if you have unforgiveness or gossiping or if you're drinking or if you're doing a little prescription drugs and you know it's not right and the Lord's been showing you that, then you don't know how to stop and you've tried everything, well, today you're going to get the answer. Today you're going to find out what defeats the sin nature. Amen? He says in verse 20, excuse me, my Bible keeps flipping pages, 21, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin was reigning in our life. Sin was our king. When something reigns in your life, it's your king. The sin nature, because again, it's the noun, the sin nature, it's not an act of sin. That's the verb, hamartano, and that means an act of sin. But the noun, harmatia, that is the sin nature. That's what's in us. It's our king. And it's driving your king, reigning over you and causing you to sin. But even so, grace might now reign. Now grace is our king. What is the grace of God? The grace of God is us receiving from God what we don't deserve. That is the really basic, simple definition. We receive from God what we don't deserve. We do not deserve that Jesus Christ would come down from heaven, walk the sinless, perfect life for us, and give his life on the cross. No man took his life. He gave it freely. He could have come off the cross. The grace of God is now to reign in our life. So one beautiful day, we recognize our sin is the problem. We recognize we need a Savior, and we give our lives to Jesus. And we change positions. We go from the seat of condemnation and law, and we go into the seat of no condemnation. Romans 8:1 says, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. No condemnation. But I saw Steve the other day, and he looked like he was doing something wrong. No condemnation. He's in Christ. He's seated in Christ. Colossians says he's seated in Christ in heavenly places. In Christ. Faith in Christ. But what about... No buts. No condemnation to those who are in Christ. You just told me you've sinned in the last month. You didn't lose your salvation when you sin. Amen? You see, if that's the case, let me give you this example. This is my wife, Doreen, and I get mad at her and I yell at her, what's wrong with you? I can't believe you did it again. What am I going to do with you? And I'm having an outburst of wrath. How many know that an outburst of wrath is a sin? Galatians chapter 5. And I can't believe it. And as I'm yelling at her, I have a heart attack and I die. Am I going to heaven? You better hope I am right. You better hope I am. Yeah, because my position hasn't changed. My faith is still in Christ. There's no condemnation to those that are in Christ. Well, that's nothing yelling at your wife. Well, we could make them bigger if you want. But the fact is, there's no condemnation. Now, if you practice sin, Galatians 5:21 handles that. If you practice sin, that's a different animal. If you're going to go get drunk every Friday night, and oh, well, I'm saved, I'm living by grace, don't worry. No. You read the scripture. If you practice sin, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. You must not practice sin. God did not save us in sin. He saved us out of sin, from sin. And the born-again believer does not want to sin. Amen? So now we go to Romans chapter 6, verse 1. We're going to get into some nitty-gritty. This is the Holy Spirit showing us how to live. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Because we're saved, shall we just go ahead and sin that grace may abound? God forbid, verse 2. How shall we who died to the sin nature live any longer in it? We are dead to the sin nature. Now watch, a dead man doesn't sin. Alcohol, immorality, it's no problem for a dead man. Because if you die to sin, the sin nature, you don't fight sin. You fight the fight of faith. You don't look to law to defeat sin. Okay, but if you go to the Christian bookstore today, there are 1,000 books with 1,000 different ways of how to defeat sin. Amen? Well, we have one book, and Jesus said, I am the way. We don't need a program of man to defeat sin. We need our faith in the blood of Christ. That is where sin is defeated, and no other place. I'm not talking to the unbeliever. This is written to the church at Rome. This is not something new. This is 2,000 years old. But the church world all over the world, I've been there, 20-plus countries, 25, is trying to defeat sin in a new way all the time. There's always something new. But the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. We need to keep our faith in the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. He died. You know, if you send me to hell for yelling at my wife, if you go to a program of man to try and defeat sin, whatever it is, 12-step program, or I'm not going to do this, or I'm not going to do that, then you are saying that the blood of Jesus, I don't know. You're actually pointing your finger at God and say, well, thanks for Jesus, he saved me, but I'll take it from here. And that we can't go there, people. And so many that. I dare say everybody in this building at one time or another has done that. I know I have. But we have to come away from that. He says that we're dead to sin. Look at verse 2 again. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Verse 3. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? He's not talking about water baptism. He's talking about the word baptismo, baptized into Christ's death on the cross. We were in Christ on the cross. We died with Christ. We were buried with Christ. And we rose to newness of life with Christ. We have the abundant life in Christ. Faith in Christ alone. I can baptize these glasses into my shirt. Immersed into my shirt. You don't see them anymore. We are in Christ. This is how God sees us. This is our position. Notice that the sin nature is still here, but there's no power source to it. Amen? We still... Oh, I don't have a problem with sin. Well, let me talk to your wife or your husband or your children or your parents. Yeah, you push the right button and that sin nature shows up. Amen? Hello? So how do we have victory over it? Well, we have to be dead to self. Jesus taught us this, you know. Jesus taught us this in Luke 9:23. He said to his disciples, the people following him, if anyone wants to come after me, do you want to come after Jesus? Do you want to? Do you want to follow Jesus? Let him deny himself and take up your cross daily and then follow me. He said, if anyone wants to desire me, come after me, let him deny himself. What did he mean? Deny yourself nice clothes or a nice car to drive or good food on the table? No. He blesses us with these things. Jesus is saying, if you want to come after me, you got to deny your own ability. You can't do it on your own. You can't do it. Your willpower is not strong enough to defeat sin. You can't live a holy life in your own strength. He said, take up your cross daily. A cross is die on. In the Roman times, if someone was going to die, sentenced to die, they'd crucify him. They'd take him away from his family. He'd say goodbye to his family. He'd take him away many times without clothes. He's not going to need his clothes. He's going to die. Jesus is saying, if you want to come after me, if you really want to be my disciple and follow me, then you need to deny your own ability, die to self every day, and then follow me. Because the next verse says, anyone who tries to save his life will lose it, but anyone who loses his life for my sake will find it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I said glory to God. We can have eternal life, and we can have this victory over sin on this earth today, but it has to be done one way and one way only. You can't defeat it any other way than faith in the blood of Jesus. Baptized into Christ, buried with Christ. Look at verse 4 of Romans 6. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Buried, and then rose again to newness of life. Verse 5, for if we have been united, now you can take that word if and say since we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. We can have the resurrected, powerful life, abundant life Jesus promised, by faith in him alone. No other way. So if you're struggling with a problem now, and in a crowd like this size, you know there's going to be some problems, and you just don't know what to do, and you've tried this, and you've tried that, and nobody knows what it is. Even your own spouse or your family, they don't know what the problem is. And you've tried this, and you've tried that. You need to stop looking to something else and believe that the blood of Jesus that paid for your sin for salvation takes care of and pays for your sanctification. You're continually made holy and set apart by use of God by faith in Christ alone. Amen? Nothing else. Now, this is not easy to do. It's very simple to read. It's not easy because we got to do something. I got to help God something. You know, can't I do something? A dead man can't do anything. You got to die. Look at verse 6, probably one of the most important verses in the New Testament, maybe the Bible. Knowing this, you see, we need to know this. Pastor and brothers and sisters, we need to know this. Are you ready? Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of the sin nature might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of the sin nature. The sin nature in us wants to dominate us again. It wants to rise up, and the only thing that allows it to rise up is when we move our faith off the crucified Christ. You hear me? I want to slow down here so you get that. Our faith in Christ saves us from sin. Now, as we're walking this Christian life, brothers and sisters, our faith in that same finished work gives us power over sin, power over the devil. We're not going to fight the devil. We want no part of the devil. Jesus took care of him. We fight the good fight of faith, and we have victory in our lives over the devil, over sin. But the problem is that we want to add to the finished work of Christ. We try and look to something else. 1 Corinthians 15:56 says, 1 Corinthians 15:56, can you see the board up there? Yep. Hallelujah. Glory to God. A little makeshift is working. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. The strength of the sin nature is the law. Don't go to the movies. You're a Christian now. I just strengthened the sin nature. Pastors, parents, don't do this and don't do that. I've just strengthened the sin nature. If I give you a law for righteousness, if you want to live for God, if you want to really be holy for God, then, you know, you got to wear long sleeves, men. And you women got to wear long dresses. That's a law. The law is the strength of sin. Any law. Certainly the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal. Don't steal. Well, the law was given to show us that we needed a Savior. There's no power in the law. The law did not save us. The law brought us to the end of ourselves so we would know we needed a Savior. If we go back to the law, the Ten Commandments, then we're going to strengthen the sin nature. So if I'm a preacher and I'm up here saying, okay, everybody, listen, thank God that we all got together today. We're all going to fast on Wednesday, all right? Everybody fast on Wednesday, and we're going to have victory in our lives, and we're going to thank God for that. Well, if I make a law out of fasting, then I'm going to strengthen your sin nature. And let me tell you what's going to happen. It's come around 3 o'clock Wednesday afternoon, you're going, oh, man, oh, boy. Oh, man, this is hard. But if the Lord leads you to a fast, if the pastor announces it and you say, yeah, praise the Lord, I want to do this, fine. But if you don't feel led of the Lord, the pastor can't make a law for these kind of things. He can invite you to join in the fast, invite you to join in the prayer meeting. Are you there? Let me give you another example. Let's just say that I got to leave here in another hour and I'll be gone. But I want to leave my box here while I'm gone. And I'm just going to leave here. If it's all right, Pastor, I'm going to leave this box here all week. So I'm going to take off now. And you'll see me next week. But while I'm gone, don't look in that box, all right? Just don't look. Don't look in there. It's not locked, but don't look in there. Okay, goodbye. What do you want to do? What is the first thing is he gone yet? You want to look in that box. I gave you one law, and it strengthened your sin nature. The law is the strength of sin. The law is the strength of the sin nature. But watch this, the next verse, 57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory over Jesus Christ. Now we have the victory over sin. Now we have the victory over sin, over the devil, over the flesh, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Talking to the church at Corinth. Talking to the church in Richville and Governor. It's not change. It's nothing different. He's the one that defeated sin. We can't defeat sin. And if we go back to a law, what's law? Anything and everything that's not faith in Christ crucified becomes a law. I'm telling you. Anything else. that you put your faith in. Well, I'll have you know that I haven't missed church in 20 weeks. And that guy over there, I know, you know, he hasn't been here. He wasn't even here last week. That is the strength of sin. That law that you've made, I got to go to church, I got to go to church. And we should go to church. We should not forsake the assembly of God of like-minded believers. And we should read the Bible. But if you think I'm struggling with sin, I'm talking to somebody here. I'm really having a problem with sin, so I'm going to read 8 chapters of the Bible a day. And then I'll have victory. No, you won't. No, you won't. You've just made a law out of reading the Bible. You've turned Christian disciplines into law, and you'll strengthen the sin nature, and your life will get worse and worse and worse. You're still saved. You're still in the position, but you're not living the abundant life Christ wanted for you. You don't have victory in your life. You don't understand it. Why am I failing? Why did I do that again? Because you're trying with your own willpower. Amen? Take your faith off those things. Take your faith off of yourself. Take your faith off of any law and put it back on the shed blood of Jesus, Christian, believer, and you'll have victory. It's a guarantee. Look at verse 58. He says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." If you look to something else other than the work of, what's the work of the Lord? The cross of Christ. That's what Jesus did for us. He died on the cross. We're to be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in His work. Because if we look and move our faith to something else, then our labor for the Lord will be in vain. And we've been all around the world. And I have seen missionaries building orphanages and doing medical missions and all kinds of other missions, building churches. And guess what? They're not preaching the gospel. And their faith is in what they're doing. Their faith is in their orphanage. And in that case, according to this scripture, their labor for the Lord is in vain. If your faith is in Christ and you go build the orphanage, that's what God wants. Amen? Let's go back to Romans 6, verse 7. Glory to God. You're going to like this. Hallelujah. Romans 6, 7. "For he who has died has been freed from the sin nature." If you die to self, die to the world, die to the flesh, die to sin, you'll have victory in your life. You've been freed from sin. But you got to die. You got to give up. You got to say, "Oh God, remember the day you got saved?" Remember? How many remember the day you got saved? I mean, you hadn't done anything. I hadn't done a thing. I was on Rock Island Road, 10 minutes and 9, May 9th, 1993, on the way to the golf course. This one had preached to me. That one had preached to me. I'd heard it for years. Dorian had been saved 6 years. And some guy the night before told me, "You know, you think you're pretty cool. You got your act together, but you're going to hell." And it was just in my own house, and I'd never met him before. And I was like, "Who does that guy think he is? In my house, don't ever bring those people in here again." But he was right. And I get up the next morning, and people go, "Well, don't preach on hell." Well, is it wrong to scare someone out of hell? Scare the hell out of them? I don't think so. I got the hell scared out of me. I knew I wasn't going to go to heaven. I knew what I did. And that man, he was used of God. He enjoyed doing it, really. He wasn't really in the spirit, but God used it. Well, he was in the flesh all the way. He was enjoying that. But I got saved that morning. And I didn't have a care in the world. I knew I was saved. I knew that I knew that I knew the blood of Jesus had washed away my sin. And for the first 5 or 6 or 7 days until I went to church, and someone said, "You got to do this, you got to do that, you got to go here, you got to go there, don't forget this." And then pretty soon, I'm looking not only to just Jesus and the finished work of the cross that got me saved, but I'm looking to the cross and I got to do this and I got to do that. And pretty soon, slowly but surely, I moved my faith off of the blood of Jesus alone and I put it on something else I was doing. I was trying to sanctify myself. I had made a law out of a prayer meeting. I'd made a law out of reading the Bible. I was under law. You know, this is a problem, and I want to jump us right now. Just give me a few more minutes, evangelistically speaking, and we'll go to Romans chapter 7. Well, you know, in Guatemala and in Honduras and in these other countries and Colombia, they show up late and they stay late. They're always late, and they don't care when they finish. I mean, the services are 3 hours. You were there, Petra. 3 hours, I mean, three and a half, whatever. So what? You know, you just bring it, you know, as long as the Holy Spirit's moving. And I believe God's touching some lives right now. I believe some people are getting the feel of it. You know, you're starting to understand something. So let's look at the Apostle Paul. I want to raise your hand. Raise your hand if you know who Apostle Paul was. Don't be afraid if you don't know. Apostle Paul was the man who God used to write half of the New Testament. All right, he had a real struggle in his life, and it's in Romans chapter 7. He was already saved. Some people say, oh, he wasn't saved. Well, the Bible says he hated sin, so an unbeliever doesn't hate sin. He was saved, and he says in Romans 7:1, or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. But if you die, hello? The law has dominion over us as long as we live. But if we die with Christ, the law doesn't have dominion over us anymore. Look at verse 2. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law. Now, you can look at this carnally if you want, but the Holy Spirit wants us to look at it spiritually. This is a spiritual application here of what's going on. There are denominations that make the law of divorce, and they get this all thing in their head. You can't. Well, anyway, this is what the Holy Spirit wants us to understand spiritually. Are you there? For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she's released from the law of her husband. Verse 3. So then if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she's free from the law that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Verse 4. Therefore, my brethren, brothers and sisters under this tent, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. We were born under law. We were born in condemnation under the law. The law condemned us. We got saved. We put our faith in Christ. We're the bride of Christ. We're married to Christ. We're seated with Christ. And now he's our everything. And we're married to him. Amen? But what he's talking about here, the law comes back around again. And if I go do something with the law, if I try and make myself righteous or holy with a law, I don't care what it is. Like I said, anything that's not faith in Christ becomes a law. Anything. Matt, watch that thing. If it, okay. Well, it's not gonna hit me. The law makes us spiritual adulterers. If we go back to a law, we become a spiritual adulterer. You know, we are, the Bible says here in Romans 7 that we are dead to the law. Let me explain this. This, I don't want you to be confused here. When I met my wife 40 years ago, glory to God. When I met my wife, she had a boyfriend. But she saw me. And we had married. And now, she's dead to the boyfriend. Right? The boyfriend's not dead. Are you there? The law's not dead. 1 Timothy 1:8 and 9 says the law's for the unrighteous, for the ungodly. The law's not for the righteous, and we're righteous in Christ. So the law is not for the believer. Our relationship has been broken. Our relationship with the law, with sin, has been broken. We're dead to sin, dead to the law. The law has nothing else to do with us. The Ten Commandments did the job. Does that mean you can go steal? You go, of course not. I mean, it's harder to live for God under grace than it is law. Law says thou shalt not commit adultery. Jesus under grace says you shall not even look upon a woman to lust after her, or you've committed adultery. Which is easier? No, but she's dead to the old boyfriend. The boyfriend's still alive. We're dead to the law, but alive to Christ. The relationship's been broken. He says in verse 5, for when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. The sin nature lives in our members. Okay? The sin nature lives in our hands, our feet, our eyes, our ears, our members. That's where the sin nature lives. It's in us. It's in our lives. And the flesh and the sinful passions were aroused by the law. Don't go to the movies. I want to go to the movies. Don't look in the box. I want to look in the box. Don't walk on the grass. I want to walk on the grass. I was at a museum in Canada with my young girls. You guys were young then, right? 10, 12, 14. And we went to this stuffed museum, stuffed animals. It was kind of near closing time. We were like the only ones left. And there's a big sign right there, do not touch the animals. Well, I wasn't saved yet. And there was this giant polar bear. As soon as you walk in, there's this giant polar bear. And I went, wow, check that out. Of course, the guard, he's around the corner. But I didn't know he had a video camera and everything. And I went up, and my kids are with me, and I went. And I touched the polar bear. And he come around the corner so mad, he goes, I saw you on the video. I saw you touch that bear. And I said, did you ever touch that bear? And he walked away. Don't touch the bear. But, so the law is the strength of sin. Even the guard knew not to touch it, but he was strengthened. Amen? I didn't know that then, but I know it now. He says, but verse 6, but now, hello, brothers and sisters, now we've been delivered from the law, having died to what we are held by, so that we should know, so we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. For sake of time, I want to move to verse 15 of the Apostle Paul's testimony. I really encourage you to look at this Romans 7 experience very closely, but I want to get this done in the next 10 minutes or so. So I want you to look very closely at how we have victory. The Apostle Paul says, the Apostle Paul, who was given the revelation of the cross, who was given the meaning of the new covenant, who was used of God to touch the world, he's a big reason why we're here right now. He says, for what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. Now, don't raise your hand, but does anybody know what I'm talking about? Please, does anybody know that sin nature can start dominating you again because of the reason he's going to give right here and right now? He says, verse 16, since then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. Well, the law told me not to covet. But man, I've been looking at that neighbor's boat, and I want to tell you, I really want that boat. How'd he get that boat? Lord, why can't you bless me with that boat? I'd like a boat like that too. And I'm coveting my neighbor's boat. And the law says, shall not covet. So I agree with the law, and I'm under conviction. I shouldn't bother me like that. I'm just going to drive a different way to work so I don't see that thing. But he agrees with the law that it's good. The law is good. The law is holy. The law is from God. The Ten Commandments are from God. They're wonderful, but they're not for the believer. Amen? Okay. 1 Timothy 1:9. Are you righteous in Christ? Are you in Christ? Are you righteous? 1 Timothy 1:9 says, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person. Amen? Amen? You're not under law, brothers and sisters. You're not to live under law. The law is the strength of sin. You're going to revive the sin nature. You're going to have a revival you don't want to have if you try and defeat it the wrong way. He says in verse 17, but now it is no longer I who do it, but the sin nature, remember the noun, that dwells in me. The sin nature that dwells in me has had a revival. The man who loves God, the man who loves the law, the man who is trying to please God, the man who is being used of God in a mighty, powerful way. The Apostle Paul, and you and me, is now strengthened by the law. He says, but verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. There is nothing good in us. You hear me? My wife has quite a testimony. Like, she was always a good girl, straight A's in school, valedictorian of her class. These are the kids I didn't even like when I was growing up. Ended up marrying one. It's unbelievable. The only thing I liked about it, you know, they could do my homework for me. But she was like a good girl, a real good girl. Went to church 14 times a week, almost. Candles, the whole nine yards, the whole deal, feast days. You know, I mean, she was an exemplary young lady. But she said when she got saved, God, I know your word is true, and every man a liar, but it feels like there's something good in me. You got to explain this to me. Why does it feel like there's still something good in me? This is her testimony. And then God revealed to her and showed her that there's none good, no, not one. There's none righteous, no, not one. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So there's nothing good in me, he says. The will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. You see, his willpower is not strong enough. Our willpower is not strong enough to defeat sin. We can't defeat sin. If you're struggling with a sin, you're going to have an opportunity today, and I'm believing God that you'll stand up and get out of your seat, come to this old-fashioned altar, and leave it there, and walk out of this tent without that problem of sin anymore, whatever it is. And don't worry about what the person next to you is going to think, because they got their own stuff going on. And don't be prideful. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I'll be the first one up here. We need to understand something. It's only Jesus Christ that can forgive sin. It's only Jesus Christ who never sinned. Only him. He says his willpower is present with me, but it's not good enough. Willpower is not strong enough to defeat sin. And let me add this. Satan is not mentioned in Romans chapter 1 through 8, not one time. Our biggest problem, our biggest enemy is not the devil. He's defeated. Our problem is the sin nature. Amen? I know you didn't come. I thought you probably came to want to shout and scream and jump and all that. Well, you can do that in your spirit, man. Once you really get this down and understand the message of the cross is the power of God, you really will be shouting and rejoicing in Christ, because you have the victory that nobody else can have without faith in the blood. You can't get it any other way. Amen? He says in verse 19, for the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Sound familiar to anybody? Verse 20, now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin nature that dwells in me. My willpower is not going to defeat the sin nature. It couldn't do it before I was saved, and it can't do it, brothers and sisters, after I was saved. Verse 21, I find then a law, the evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. Well, that's a negative confession, man. I mean, where are you? What's wrong with this word of faith, people? What are you going to do with the word of faith, people? You're going to name it and claim it. I'm the righteousness of Christ. I can have this and I can have that. You know, I was preaching in Nicaragua on a radio program. I had a couple hundred people in front of me, but it was a live radio. And the Lord just led me to go in the direction of this word of faith. You know, having faith is all important. But if you think, if your faith is in your faith, or if your faith is in what you say or what you confess, then you've got the wrong object of faith. Amen? Now hear me. It's not good, and it's all over the world. And I'm preaching along, and I realized, and I said to the people, what about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? How many people know about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Well, I mean, what are they going to do with the word of faith people. I'm not going in that fire. In the name of Jesus, I'm not going in that fire. I confess it. I declare I'm not going in that fire. But then the king put him in the fire. No, that's not what they said. They didn't confess and declare that I'm not doing this and I'm not doing that and who I am. No, they said, O king, my God is able to deliver me. But whether he does or not, I will not bow my knee. And they went into the fire. And then we know the fourth man was in the fire. And without them yielding to the will of God and going in, instead of their own will be done, but God's will be done, we wouldn't even be talking about them today. And we wouldn't know that fourth man was Jesus in the fire. Glory to God. That testimony doesn't work for the word of faith people. Amen? So be careful of what you pray for and how you pray. You got to pray that his will be done, like the pastor said earlier, and that song that we sang. He says in verse 21-22, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. Now verse 23, we're getting right down to it here. We're almost done. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into the captivity of the law of sin, which is in my members. Please look at me. Stay focused here. The law of my mind. My mind says, don't go there. You're a Christian now. We don't go to those places. But the sin nature that dwells in my members, my feet, take me. That's where the sin nature dwells. And my eyes, my members, says, don't look at that woman that's walking across there half-dressed. But my eyes want to look. My mind says, don't look, but my eyes want to look. And there's a battle going on. The law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into the captivity to the law of sin, because it's a sin to lust. It's a sin to go to that place, whatever that is. But my members are fighting against my mind and bringing me into captivity, because I can't defeat sin in my own strength. You're not going to get it done. And the sooner you recognize there's nothing good in you and you can't defeat sin, let me tell you what happens. Victory. Glorious salvation and freedom in the Lord and liberty in Christ. And you know, I can't do this. It's a freedom. It's a real freedom to know you can't live this Christian life in your own flesh. It's a real freedom. Admit, the sooner as you get to that point where you go, oh, Lord, I can't do this, you're going to find freedom. And you're going to start having more and more victory in your life. It's true. It's a truth. He says, after all this going on, now the Apostle Paul gets to the finalized thing. He says in verse 24, oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched man that I am. This word wretched in the Greek, when you break it down, it gets to the final root, mabad. It means exhausted from labor. He's exhausted from trying to be righteous in the sight of God. He's tried everything. He can't do the things he wants to do. He's doing the things he doesn't want to do. Who will deliver me? Who will deliver me? Not what? Not some program from Columbia. Not a G12 system. Not some program. Not some denominational rule. Not something I make for myself. It's a who. The who is Jesus Christ. Who will deliver me from this body of death? And he says in verse 25, I thank God through my Lord Jesus Christ. He delivers me. He delivers us. Amen? Then, after all that, in verse 8, chapter 8, verse 1, he can now say, are you ready? He can now say, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. How many know that man added the chapters and the verses? This is a continuation of Romans 7. You don't start... Don't think about it as a new letter or anything. It's the next sentence. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through my Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, there is therefore now that I know I can't do it, now that I know that my willpower is not strong enough, now that I know the law is the strength of sin, now that I just put my faith back in Christ, there's no condemnation, no guilty verdict for those who walk not after the, well, for those who are in Christ who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Everyone stand. I want to finish with this. What is it to walk in the flesh, and what is it to walk in the spirit? And I have to go to scripture. I have to look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. And by the way, look at verse 17 first. I want this to be real clear. Galatians 5:17 says, "For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you will." The flesh and the spirit are fighting a battle. You hear me, brothers and sisters? Written to the church at Galatia. We got a problem. The spirit comes into our lives. Let me tell you it this way. Before we're saved, the Holy Spirit is outside of us. And he's fighting for us. You need a Savior. Your sin has separated you from God. Come to Jesus. Look at the shed blood. He will deliver you from sin. And the Holy Spirit is fighting for us. He's outside fighting for us. But the moment we're born again, the Holy Spirit comes in, and now he's fighting in us, trying to conform us into the image of Christ. And the battle goes on between the spirit and the flesh. And my flesh says, I like that program. I get to do something. And the spirit says, no. You don't need that. You look to the finished work of Christ. You put your faith in the blood of Jesus for salvation, and you walk in the Spirit as you look to that. Verse 16 says, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It doesn't say the lust of the flesh won't be there. It says you won't fulfill it. It's still there. We still have this desire in us to do something for God outside of the cross of Christ. But if we walk in the Spirit, how do we walk in the Spirit? As our faith, the Holy Spirit in us, the Holy Spirit in you, points us to the finished work of Christ. Walking in the Spirit is looking to Jesus Christ and his finished work of the cross 24/7, 365 days a year, always looking to that. When we get off track a little bit, we know where we got to go. We got to come back to the cross. If you've been struggling with sin, if you want to strum a little bit, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and bow your heads. And I know that many of you have not heard this before, but I hope through the Word of God that you've seen the problem with the law for the believer, the problem with the sin nature that's in all of us, and how to have victory over it. And it'll take a little courage, but God's here and he's been looking down on us. And he wants to set you free. You know, the children of Israel were in Egyptian bondage for 400 years. And God told Moses, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. I'm talking about God's people. And he's telling us that today. Let my people go. He's telling the enemy, let my people go. My people that are bound by this are bound by that. You've moved your faith and you've looked a little bit at something else. Or you just want to come up to this old-fashioned altar and raise your hands and just thank Jesus. Just like the Apostle Paul said, I thank God through my Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to open the altar and I want you to be bold and step out in faith and proclaim before God and everyone here that Jesus Christ is your all in all, that he saved you from sin, he delivers you from the penalty of sin, and he gives you the victory over the power of sin. Doesn't matter what you've done. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Amen? So I want you to step out. We're going to pray for you up here right now. Come forward, please. Come on, Brother Larry. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just tell God, you're going to have victory by faith alone. Faith in the blood of Jesus. You're not going to look to anything else. You're not going to look to yourself. Listen, if the Holy Spirit's talking to you about anything in your life, don't stay in your seat. This is your opportunity to get it right with God. You can leave here not like you came, but changed by the power of God. Hallelujah. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. One day we're going to see him face to face. Let us not try and testify about what we've done or didn't, but let us testify about what Jesus did. Thank you, Lord. We're going to determine to go out of here with our faith in Christ and Him crucified and nothing else. No law. The sin nature is defeated. The law is fulfilled in Christ. Jesus said, I am the Bible says He is the end of the law for righteousness for all those who believe. And Jesus said, I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. The law is fulfilled in Christ. If you put yourself back under law in any area of your life, this is your opportunity to tell God you're sorry and to start thanking Him for that victory over the sin at the cross of Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Lift your voices. Lift your hands. Praise Him. Give Him glory. He's worthy. He's worth everyone there. Hallelujah. Kala baba 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 shaka kata taka taka. Kala kura kala kala shaka kata taka baba baba baba.
My Savior God to Thee. How great Thou art.
Thank You, Jesus. Thank You for the blood. Thank You for the cross. Thank You, Lord, for Your finished work. In Jesus' name.
Then saves my soul, my Savior God, to Thee.
Lift your voices.
How great Thou art. How great Thou art.
If you've never received Christ, you don't even know what we're talking about, but you know that you're not right with God. There's something in your heart that tells you you're not right. Let me ask you this question. If you die today, will you go to heaven? If you can't answer yes to that question, then you're not ready. 1 John 5 says you may know you have eternal life, and this life is in Christ. Going to church does not save you. Young people, being born in a Christian home does not save you. You have to have your own testimony. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Is there anyone that wants to receive Christ? Don't be
afraid.
Hallelujah. I'd like everybody here to lay hands on the person next to you. Lay hands on them and pray for that person next to you. Believe God for them. Believe God for salvation, for healing, for deliverance from sin, for deliverance from the law, for the peace that passes all understanding. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. It's all about You, Jesus. It's all about You. You must have that wretched man moment. The same time that Paul had that wretched man moment where he knew he couldn't defeat sin in his own strength. And he cried out to a holy God. He knew he was saved, but he knew he needed deliverance from sin. And if that's you today, just say, thank You, Jesus. I thank God through my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. No condemnation. No condemnation to those who are in Christ. Doesn't matter what sin you've committed. If your faith is in Christ, it's washed in the blood. God forbid we should sin. But when we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Soul,
thank You, Lord.
My Savior God to Thee. How great Thou art. How great Thou art.
I just want to hold before I turn. For Your word. Thank You for the delivering power of the blood of Jesus. Genesis. Person. Take their faith off. Take take their faith off of religion, off of works, off of programs and systems of man, go through their libraries, see who they're watching on TV or listening on the radio, make sure that they're listening to Christ, cross preach what? We are to be ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, because the letter kills, but the spirit. I ask you to do it so everyone here might not. In Jesus' name, and everyone. And hallelujah. Give the Lord.
Sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee.